This is Vatican Radio. A new report was published on Monday by the charity Christian Aid, highlighting the world cities most at risk from future coastal flooding. The document, entitled Act Now or Pay Later, Protecting a Billion People in Climate-Threatened Coastal Cities, shows that more than a billion people are set to be exposed to coastal flooding by 2060 through a combination of sea level rise, storm surges, and extreme weather. The findings reveal that people living in the United States, China, and India are most at risk. Among the cities named in the report are India's Kolkata and Mumbai, and Miami in the United States. Lydia O'Kane spoke to the report's author, Dr. Allison Doig, Christian Aid's principal climate change advisor.
To say that many, many cities are already exposed, we've seen flooding across the world already. What we're seeing is that that is going to get much, much worse, and for a couple of reasons. One is the number of people that are moving into already huge mega cities such as Dhaka in Bangladesh or Kolkata, and you know, the mega cities, particularly in Asia, but also in Africa. So there's more people moving in. The poorer people tend to go to the more marginalized areas, so the more vulnerable areas to flooding. So you get the movement of people in, but you've got climate change happening. And even with the Paris Agreement, which was outstanding, it's still not quite doing enough to keep climate change in check. And that means sea levels rising. It means storm surges, storms bringing huge bodies of water far inland, such as happened with Haiyan, and increased incidents of rainfall. So the people movement and climate change combined are sort of brewing this humanitarian disaster waiting to happen.
Were you surprised by some of the cities that came up?
I think there was a lot of predictable ones, particularly the low-lying ones. And if you look at the number of people exposed, it tends to be the big Asian cities called Kolkata, Mumbai, Dhaka, a lot of the Chinese cities. If you look at those most with their assets most exposed, they tend to be more USA. So Miami is hugely vulnerable. New York itself is massively vulnerable. So the financial exposure is often in there, and a few of the European cities, such as the Netherlands, come into that accounting. But our focus is very much on those. Even within the rich countries, it tends to be the very poorest who are most exposed. You looked at New Orleans, people who have no insurance or are on the worst parts of the city for flooding tended to be the poorest people. And that's very much the same in the big Asian cities.
You mentioned there that it's the poorest people that are most exposed. But I also found interesting that with regard to men and women, women suffer more. Can you explain that?
Yes, women often have the biggest responsibility for the household, for the family, so they are most likely to be with the children during that time. They're also not necessarily the strongest. The men can get away quicker often. So there's a lot of responsibility that holds them in the disaster area. And when it does hit and when they do lose everything, they tend to be the poorest. They have the least. So they have the least chance of recovering what they had before, and it makes them even more vulnerable. So we're not saying men aren't exposed, but women are often those, as they say, with children and particularly small babies. So I find it more difficult to cope during and then after.
Maybe you just talk about the work that Christian Aid is doing. Are there particular countries that Christian Aid's working in to help alleviate this and helping people that are suffering, obviously?
The point of this report is not doom and gloom. It's actually saying we know where the big cities are going to expand. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen with climate change. We can start to prepare now. And you can do infrastructure. I mean, big infrastructure is expensive, but it will protect. But actually, what we're recommending is that you invest, but you invest in the communities. And that might be to improve their houses, to raise them. In Bangladesh, we're raising houses on plinths so that when the sea comes in, the people and their property is all secure. In Manila, we're working with the observatory to get an early warning system for the communities when the floods are coming, and they know where to go and, you know, when to go and where to go so that they are safe and they can secure their property and their livelihoods. So it's putting in things which are actually affecting and protecting the communities is really important, as well as protecting the bigger, more expensive infrastructure.
This would be, obviously, we're looking at avoidance and we're looking at what we can do to help avoid it.
Exactly. Now, we can start to prepare now. Even with the climate, we're hoping that we'll keep climate well below 2 degrees. That's what Paris agreed. But even with 2 degrees, there will be a substantial rise in sea levels. There will be a significant change in storm. So we know it's going to happen. So you have to plan where people are going to move in these cities, because we know they're moving there. So don't put them on the most vulnerable lands and protect. Put up, you know, things like mangroves. Don't cut mangroves. They protect you from the sea. They're actually very precious. They're naturally precious, but they're also sea barriers. So it's really having a forward-looking planning for these cities, and it's more cost-effective. What Ban Ki-moon has said ahead of the World Humanitarian Summit this week is for every dollar of investment now, we'll save $7 in recovery and humanitarian later. You can dispute that figure, but I think, you know, what he's saying is what the report has said is act now or you'll pay later. You know, really, it is best to invest now to protect.
Just one last question, Alison. We have the World Humanitarian Summit coming up next week. What would you say to the people taking part in that?
I think put the community, the affected, impacted people at the heart of that summit. So we need more money, we need more resources, but we need more of them getting to these very, very vulnerable communities and different forms of disasters. So yes, you need the governments to be strong, but you also need these communities to know, to have better infrastructure, to know what to do in disaster, and to be part of that humanitarian response. So that's what we'll be definitely seeing when we go to the humanitarian summit.